Hello, and welcome to our very first spoiler cast.
Very special. This was something I know you have, in particular, really wanted to do for some amount of time. So we're doing it.
Yes.
And
finally doing it.
Very happy to make this a Patreon exclusive podcast.
Spoiler cast.
What? It's technically a podcast.
It's a cast. Spoiler.
It makes sense for us to not just have this out for somebody to randomly click on, be like, I just got spoiled on your spoiler cast. How dare you? We're being very clear up front about this.
That's right. That's right.
Maximum also, spoilage is about to occur.
Oh yeah, everything will be spoiled here. So don't listen if you are.
Nothing is off limits.
Yeah, if you haven't beaten the game or something. But yes, we're so excited to do more Patreon exclusives for all of you. We appreciate you so much. I know this is a lot, something that a lot of you have been wanting to hear from us as well, is to do spoiler casts for big games. So hopefully this will be one of many coming up, but we're excited to kick off the first spoiler cast with Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah, and the Tears of the Kingdom spoiler channel on Discord is really very active.
It's like
among our most active channels. So
yes.
I think there's a lot of you who are still having these conversations, mm-hmm. and maybe you're still, you know, playing through the game and just starting to get to the end.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Because yeah.
we've had to dance around so many of these topics in our main podcast.
It is.
And me a little bit more so than you, who just lets it rip.
It's just so hard to talk about this game in a way that actually does this game justice.
Mm.
Without talking about like some of these big things that I know people are, you know, trying to avoid if they haven't beaten the game yet. Like, it's just too hard.
Yeah.
So I just felt like in our podcast, I haven't really given my full opinion on it yet because I wasn't able to. But that ends today.
Oh no, you've been held back.
I've been held back.
I've
been silenced by you.
I have a podcast and yet I've been silenced.
By you.
Explain this.
It's all your fault. But yes.
So we've broken this. We're going to start with the conversation of the story because, again, that's the thing that we've had to hold back on the most.
Right.
And then we're going to talk about some of the top moments, characters, and then we will talk a bit about the mechanics a little bit more. And then we're going to end with the big verdict of do we like this game better than Breath of the Wild, which is a question we have been not answering until today.
Right. So this is everything. We're just going to brain dump all of our thoughts about this incredible game just right here in this. So hopefully you enjoy it. But let's dive right in to the story, which is, again, something that we haven't been able to talk about in the past. We are going to dig into some of the major story beats, and also we were going to talk about some of the theories we had early on when we were playing the game.
I don't know if I have any theories, honestly.
Well,
so hopefully you have a lot. Okay.
Well, you and I talked about when we were playing through, you know, just getting a taste of the story. Like, I was making predictions left and right. Like, mm-hmm. this is what I think is happening. Anyway, so we'll talk about a little bit of those.
Okay.
Well. But yeah, let's start with just like the main story aspects. And just tell me, as a Zelda player that doesn't really play Zelda games for the story, how did you feel about this story?
I liked it. I find that time travel as a storytelling mechanic, I don't really like.
Mm-hmm. It
because
can be tricky.
It's easy for it to get away from you. And it's one of those things that when you start poking at it a little bit, it can often start to fall apart.
Right.
So for whatever reason, like this did work for me. And it felt very coherent. I feel like in games of this length, sometimes they keep adding more and more and more story. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's too many zigs and zags here. Like, I've lost track of what the big overarching thing is.
Mm-hmm.
I never had that impression playing this game.
Right. I was really impressed with the story for this game. Like, I think this is the best story of any Zelda game. You know, it's definitely up there as one of the best, if not the best. I think in the past, Zelda games and stories within Zelda games have actually oftentimes left a little bit of depth in service of gameplay mechanics or, you know, big dungeons with puzzles, which of course are awesome parts of Zelda games as well. But, you know, I would say that in Breath of the Wild, the story was pretty minor compared to like the bigger aspect of exploration and all those things. But I really felt like this time there was a better balance between the significance of the story, the you know, the bigness of the world, the exploration, the building, like all of that seemed really well balanced. And the story was significant enough to stand up to all of those bigger like gameplay things that were equally important. So I thought the story was really, really well done. I found the, you know, Zelda's particular, her arc to be pretty interesting as well. Because usually she's kind of like a disembodied voice or she's trapped somewhere or whatever. She certainly was trapped somewhere, like in a different time, but she was doing some stuff, you know? She got stuff going on. She was like very much, you know, discovering like her role in all of this. And I thought that piece of it was really interesting, even though she wasn't a playable character one day, hopefully. It was really nice to see that she had like this really significant purpose in the story as well.
Yeah, for the most part, you know, the main characters were very well depicted. Like, yeah, Zelda is an active player. She's doing a lot of things. She is engaging versus being reactionary. She's taking, you know, her destiny into her own hands in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. which you don't often see her being. Same with Ganondorf. Like, you do get a sense for that evilness. His motivations maybe could have been a little bit more clearly laid out versus, like, he's just a bad guy, he's doing bad stuff.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, oh, yeah, like, this guy's intimidating, this guy's scary, like, he definitely lives up to that. I think Link is the odd person out, and I think we'll talk about that more when we get into our big character discussion, but I felt something slightly maybe lacking in Link's mm-hmm. case.
Yeah, the other thing that I really liked about this story is there definitely seems to be thought about this, like, the history of this world that we've built, the history of Hyrule, like, you know, this idea that there is sort of things before that happened before, like this ancient civilization, you know, these creatures, whatever, for the lack of a better term, that we've never, these goat people that we've never seen before introduced. The Zonai, all the Zonai lore, like that kind of stuff. It just seemed like the weaving of the world is getting deeper versus it going the other way, where it's like Hyrule is just a place where you're doing the gameplay things, you know? So I did appreciate that. I was a little bit skeptical going into it because I was like, who are these goat people? am I going to care about them? Am I going to feel invested in them? They're introducing these like brand new characters that none of us have ever seen before, but I found myself very quickly getting attached to them. And that moment, that memory where Queen Sonya gets offed was shocking for me. Like, I don't think I expected like that kind of death scene in a Nintendo game. I was like, what's happening? Like, this is so dramatic and so sad and graphic. Like, I was really shocked by that. Did you have that same reaction with these kind of new characters that you're being introduced to?
I was not shocked as far as that particular scene because I think they did go out of their way to show like Ganon being, again, like he's a bad guy. He's a bad guy. And he's not just like snarling with his, you know, pectoral hanging out. Like, he's actually doing bad stuff to earn that. I liked, you know, all the kind of Zonai ancient characters. Mm-hmm. It was very interesting to see, like, the connection between then and now. And I enjoyed the scenes of Zelda kind of walking around with them and learning about their world.
And her history, own history.
Right, her own history. You can kind of put together the pieces of, like, the bigger lineage of Hyrule and how that eventually goes up to her, which is cool. I want to talk. I know one of the big things about the memories with you is like you were worried about those being done out of sequence.
Yeah,
and you had actually held off on even doing those at all because you're like, I need to find like what the right sequence is.
Was stuck in a real catch-22 because I wanted to do them in the order that I was supposed to see, like the order of the sequence of the story.
Uh-huh.
But I was scared to look it up because I didn't want to get spoiled if I looked up what the proper sequence was.
Oh, okay.
So I ended up just going for it, and it was okay.
Out of order.
Out of order.
Okay.
I did see, like, the first... Well, actually, no. I saw the first thing last, actually. So... Yeah, so it was completely out of order. I don't even know. I'm trying to like think about like did I at least see the first couple of scenes in order and that kind of set me up in a way where I kind of understood what was happening? No, I did not do that. I actually saw that Queen Sonia death scene really early on, and it like shocked me so much that I like went on a whole just I was like. Just doing only memories that I needed to see what happens.
Yeah.
So I was like, wait, what led up to this? Like, why is there like an evil Zelda double? Like, what is going on? So I wish I saw that scene later, honestly, because I would have wanted to know Queen Sonia a little bit more before she just died. Okay. So that part of it didn't end up being as big of a problem as I thought it would. But I do wish that there was a way to see those in order. I think that would have added a little bit more meat to that story, to see those events happen in sequence as they're meant to be. You know? But it wasn't so bad that I was like, oh, this ruined it for me, you know, and nothing like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have seen some people saying like, oh, yeah, this is a major storytelling gaffe and like not understanding why they did it. I think it's interesting because you do sometimes see stories told out of sequence, different chunks, but in this case you can literally make the sequence yourself.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is it's kind of left to randomness of like, oh, I'm exploring this area, now I've stumbled upon this thing.
Tier. Yeah, yeah.
And for me, like once I started going with the tiers, I wanted to focus on that because they were so interesting and I just wanted to keep seeing it.
Yeah.
And My order was very just haphazard because, again, it was just very tied to my exploration. And I realized, like, oh, there's kind of one per area. So I did eventually figure it out. It didn't bother me too much. But, again, like, I was not singularly focused on the story.
Yeah.
I also saw some people saying in the story, like, oh, the moment they talk about, like, the transformation into a dragon swallowing the stone, like... that telegraphs the whole rest of the game.
That exactly happened to me. When we started playing this game, within the first day, I think I didn't see any memories yet. None at all. I think I literally watched like the opening scene. Yeah. I played like the first, whatever, four hours of the game. And you and I were obviously talking about this game nonstop every single day. And I have this written down. That I basically telegraphed the entire game. I was like, this is what's going to happen. In order to, you know...
Or do they talk about that before you start getting memories even?
I think so. There was some telegraphing for sure about the significance of the dragon and like some sort of... I'm like, there's got to be a way where she's got to like transcend time, you know, to make it to Link's time. Yeah. And there's something to do with the sword, obviously, the Master Sword. And that is her purpose in this game.
Hmm.
So, you do get a pretty big signal. Like, this is going to be sort of... what's going to happen.
See, I thought I was very surprised by that because I thought, well, surely she's not going to swallow this mango sized rock. Like that's just ridiculous. I thought it was just like a figure of speech.
Oh, really?
How does one swallow the stone? Well, well, you sit and meditate for months like upon months. I didn't believe they would literally swallow
a
stone.
It's not that big. It's like the size of like cashew nut.
Yeah, it is actually smaller than I thought. In my mind, I was like, this thing's huge. You can't even swallow that.
Like,
at all.
It's like swallowing like a big like Mucinex.
It's like a pill or something.
Yeah, you just gotta like put water in your mouth and just toss it back.
Right. Right, but something about it was just so like I don't know.
There's literal. If
something about it, like I think surely that's not what they're going to do.
Literally.
So I did have a moment of like real shock. I was like, oh my god! And then she like transforms into this, and those scenes are very jarring. It's like there's like a bit of like body horror with like.
Well, you know that like when she talks to Minoru about that,
it's like this forbidden act.
It's like you're basically doing something that's absolutely like against human nature.
Right.
You know, against like all of their, it's like forbidden. It's taboo. This whole thing about like. Once you do this, you will lose yourself forever. Mm-hmm. Like the sacrifice you're making, you have to understand the sacrifice. Like you basically lose your humanness. Like you're gone. You're going to be like you know, this dragon. So they make it seem, and it is, very significant. You know, regardless of what they tell her, she's going to do it.
I didn't know she was going to do it.
Oh,
okay. Okay, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
That her personality is that she would do.
I was still very surprised by that.
I think they set that up well, actually, in Breath of the Wild. Because you know that when she was trying to, like, evoke the goddess in Breath of the Wild, yeah. She's going to all those springs uh-huh. and, like, desperately trying to make this, have herself, like, uh-huh. you know, transform or whatever. Like, you can see that girl's determination, mm. you know, and I can see it. In this game, too, is, like, that same personality where, like, she will go to any lengths to do this, which is, like, kind of scarily incredible, but it is so on par for, like, her personality. So I appreciated that she just, like, without even questioning it, she thought about it a little bit, I think, but she was just like, yeah, I'm meant to do this. I have to do this, you know?
Hmm.
So I thought that was very consistent with Zelda's, you know, her who she is as a person.
Yeah.
So they did that really, really well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, and again, I know people out there have mixed feelings on it, but between the two games, Breath of the Wild and this, like I do really like that mechanic of just like take it as you wish, take the story mm-hmm. as you wish.
Yeah.
I don't think it would work for every game yeah. because it is a bit non-traditional, but it does fit with what this game is. It's a do-it-yourself kind of adventure.
They should have done a thing where you can collect the memories, you know, throughout the world, but they just give it to you in the order that needs to happen. Like you can sure. still explore and collect the tears yeah. and the different.
Well, that's where the Nintendo developer brain takes over. It's like, well, this one's shaped like a dagger, so you're gonna see that dagger now. We can't change it any other way. You gotta see the dagger.
Yeah,
that's how we did it.
That, I know. I can see that. It's like the one that's shaped like a lizard is gonna talk
right.
about the Gorons.
And exactly.
Whatnot. Yeah. No, they have to. Yeah. They really have to. Like, it's like put the square
in
a square hole.
The whole game will just crumble if
you
we do not see this.
You can't
this
go off script
yeah.
here. Yeah, I get that. Okay, sure. I mean, again, I am a story person.
Uh-huh.
I was very worried about this, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is gonna ruin it for me. It wasn't the best, but it didn't ruin it for me. I still love the story, regardless of that I got it in a different
yeah.
order. I did, so before I beat the game, I did a thing where I watched all of them in order.
Oh yeah.
Right before I beat
yeah,
it.
That's
because
good.
I was like,
refresh.
I do need to watch it in order for myself. I want to be refreshed.
Mm-hmm.
I then want to see the ending, like as I would have
yeah.
you know, seen the ending to the story. So I thought that was a good way of going around that.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's talk about the ending.
Okay.
Because that was, you and I both danced around this a lot. Your way to describe it was you've never pressed the screenshot button so
yeah.
many times in a video game before, and I would agree with that sentiment. Like, that was probably, in terms of, you know, Ganon fights, a very challenging fight. I found it to be challenging, at least.
The first part where you're actually, or versus Dragon Ganon.
Oh, no, I was just saying, like, the lead up to, yeah, the first
right.
part versus regular Ganon. Dragon Ganon was easy.
I have a question about the first part. So my brain just went into, like, oh, this is just, like, a one-on-one sword fight. But I didn't, like, can you use, like, devices or gizmos, like, in that fight?
I
didn't even think to try that. So dumb of me.
I think he was so fast. It would be very difficult for you to build something, maybe.
I can auto-build something and turn it loose. One of these just like,
maybe.
You know,
like
flame wheels
laser
or something.
Wheel.
Yeah.
I think, you know what? I've seen some videos of people doing that.
Okay.
So I think it's possible.
Okay.
It must be.
I'm kind of kicking myself for not being more experimental with that.
Play it again.
My mind did go to like, oh, this is like a Skyward Sword, like test of swordsmanship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I felt like it.
Which was fun on it was fun on that level because it was a good challenge of that.
Mm-hmm.
The bit about like, I wish I was slightly more prepared with the anti-gloom stuff.
I had like a pocket full of anti-gloom, and I sewed it.
I told you that though. I gave
that,
you a
yeah.
tip, but yeah, like
a lot of people
the whole point
that.
Of like, oh, your life bar kind of doesn't matter because it comes down to how much you can mitigate the
yeah.
gloom.
Yeah.
I was just prepared enough to get through that.
I was just prepared enough, and I was high leveled.
Yeah.
I was like, I had done all the things.
Right.
I did not get the gloom armor, which I think would have helped me.
Oh, I didn't have that either. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, so that fight was very satisfying, I thought,
yeah.
in terms of fights in that
mm-hmm.
game, battles, like usually they're pretty easy, right? So that one I thought was a really good lead up. And then I felt like that part where you do the dragon part of it. I knew Zelda was going to come in dragon form to help you. Like, she has to. She always helps you at the end. Light arrows, whatever. She's there.
Yeah.
She's going to help you. So it was great that she came to your aid. But that part was just a reward, I think.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful spectacle where you felt amazing. You felt powerful together as, like, a team. You know, it was just fun because, like, you felt like, I did the hard part. Now I'm going to finish this up in the most beautiful, like, just amazing way possible. And it was such a great way, I think, to end this game.
Yeah, a lot of times they'll introduce a new mechanic at the end. And, like, sometimes you kind of wish they just stuck with what you'd been doing.
Yeah.
In this case, like, it was fun. Like, I was like, so if I fall off, like, she will come down and catch me? Like, is there any way I could just, like, fall to my death and die here?
Yeah.
Like, it was fun to just mess around with that. And then also just, like, the way it was directed, like, that's why it was taking so many screenshots, because it was like, oh my gosh, we're getting, like, top anime moments, like, right now.
Yeah.
Hammer this button.
So beautiful. It was like a dance, you know?
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me, honestly, of a less frustrating version of the Elden Ring boss fight at the end.
Because
that end boss was also such, like, it was so beautiful. You just felt like you were doing this, like, dance with this other thing that you're fighting, right? And the same thing, the dragons are doing this, like, cool, you know, dance together, and you're just, like, there's an ethereal quality to it. You feel very, like, you know, the gameplay is very floaty, and you just feel like you're weightlessly doing this battle, and it just really added to that. Like, my heart was, like, pounding, because it just was such a, like, an intense moment of, like, almost like satisfaction, because you know you're winning. You're gonna win. You're gonna be fine.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And I was also very curious in that moment, like, how is Zelda gonna get out of this one?
Mm-hmm.
Like, trapped in a dragon.
Yeah.
This isn't good. Your girl is trapped in a dragon. What do you do? Because I was really, that same thing, I, like, with Breath of the Wild, too, I was like, how is she going to get out of this? You know, she's sort of trapped in this, you know, in this space. But did you like that part where you, like, reach for her hand and basically she, like...
Yeah, I mean, that's part of that sequence. That's great. And I was jamming that screenshot button, and that was very, you know, indicative of their bond.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it felt very, like, emotionally... satisfying.
I 100% did not know I was supposed to hit the A button, because I was.
And she,
like,
crashed.
No, you start over.
Oh. Your ending was a little different.
No, she was a. She
was paced on the floor.
She was a pancake. No, but yeah, I was, like, so, like dumbstruck by this, like an idiot. I was just, like, staring at my screen, like, duh.
Oh,
and then
no.
I was like, oh my gosh, I have to press a button. Okay, oh shoot, I'm a little.
Well, sometimes you do put the controller down in these cutscenes. Like, I'm just gonna take this in.
I'm like starry-eyed.
And then they hit you with the QTE, like, oh no.
Yeah, exactly. No, it was like almost like I totally had to, like, snap myself out of it to, like, do the thing. But yes, I was like, okay, good. She, like, she's gonna be okay, and it's a big sigh of
right.
You get sort of this. You're on this high, you know, with this crazy dragon battle. You know you're gonna win, but you also have this lingering feeling, like, and then what?
Yeah.
And then you have this moment that's very much a moment between Link and Zelda, which is how they started this game, you know, and that moment where he finally does catch her, because he doesn't catch her in the beginning, and you're like. So just, like, you have this sigh of relief, and you're, like, so just, like, oh, thank goodness. They went kind of full circle back to that beginning moment.
Does his clothes fly off?
Yes, you're saying. Take it off. And you, like, roll into the field together. Romance. It was amazing. It really, truly, like, that was a great way to sort of start and end the game. Like, they had a lot of symbolic stuff with, like, the Ouroboros, like, the circular dragon, and I felt like they really paid it off with the way the story, like, sequenced as well. So, it's really well done. Way
now,
to go!
Now, did you find that sequence to be cooler, or the sequence where you get the Master Sword?
Well, should we move on to top moments, then? Because that is my top moment.
Okay. I'm just asking a question.
Yeah. I was going to save that for the top moment.
All right. Well, what do you want to talk about before that?
Well, I mean,
all right.
I'm good. Do you want more story? What more?
I mean, we can always come back.
Okay.
So, yeah, let's
get other stories
top
that moments. Do you want to talk about? Romance?
Romance? Well, the bit about, like, the fake Zelda.
Oh, like, the evil double Zelda?
Right. I was interested to follow that storyline, but some of the reactions of the characters in the world were a bit, like, too dumb.
Oh, okay.
I was like, oh no, she's gone evil.
Right, how you mean like, we saw the Zelda,
right.
We saw, like, Princess
fake,
Zelda.
Fake Zelda slapped me and took my wallet. She would never do that. What's going on?
Yeah, it was like, yeah. That horse was like really upset with her.
Right.
It was like, why is this horse so scared of her now?
Right.
This is obviously,
yeah, I mean, it was kind of telegraphed but as a trap, but I was like, oh, this is an interesting
mechanic. Or like, you go to the Yiga area and then you get like, you get the cage dropped on you,
yeah,
because it was fake Zelda.
Right. Okay. I was still interested to follow that.
Yeah, because there is a lot of Nintendo games where they have, like, a shadow version.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they have the Shadow Link.
Right.
Right? Where it's, like, basically, I guess, like, Evil Link or something. Uh-huh. But, yeah, I'd be curious. Like, it would be more interesting if it was, like, a truly, like, possessed Zelda. Like, she
you had to fight it or something.
Yeah, you have to, like, snap her out of
right.
it. Like, she got hypnotized or something.
Yeah.
Like, she, like, was under, like, Ganon's spell.
Right.
You know? That would be interesting. That would be interesting.
Because yeah, you could wonder, like, oh, like, is she somehow, like, blipping back and forth to do something?
Oh, she's
but
like
it's
glitching?
Like, it's, yeah, like, destroying her mind? Like,
oh, yeah.
I don't know. I think they settled on the most obvious approach. But I was still intrigued by it.
That's true. Yeah. No, that would be true. And I guess one more thing that you kind of mentioned before is, like, I would have also liked to know more about Ganon's journey towards evilness.
Right.
That is always a good story to tell where no one start, I mean, maybe some people, but nobody really starts out like...
That could be a game.
That could be a game. Yeah. It's like Shadow
this
Game.
This is like Star Wars episode 1 through 3.
Exactly. Or like...
Or maybe don't do that.
Don't do... Well, it's
now I'm pod racing through the Gerudo Desert.
Oh, I kind of would
take
like...
Take that, Sebulba.
I would like that, actually. I would enjoy that.
Oh, no.
Now we're pod racing. We could build your own pod racer. We did it. But, yeah, like, no one starts out, like, I came out of the womb,
yeah,
evil. Like, I'm bad, you know? I don't know. So, like, I'm sure, like, something happened to him. Like, did he have, like, was he bullied as a child?
Right.
Like, I don't know.
Because he just sort of shows up. He's like, oh, I'm in charge of this Gerudo area. Now I'm messing you up.
The other thing that's really interesting is they really do, like, bang the drum of, like, we don't have men in the Gerudo.
Yeah.
Area, like the Gerudo Kingdom, that you get like one dude like every 100 years,
yeah,
or something. And how did this one come out all messed up? Like,
yeah,
something happened here.
Right.
Like, there's some interesting
DLC.
Oh,
the DLC,
the Ganon DLC,
Ganon Origin DLC.
Oh, I would love that. Do that.
It won't be that.
Ganon Naked Skin.
You need the PC version for that.
Ooh, okay. Never. Nintendo would never. But yeah, like that would be a great story to tell because there's definitely like seeds of interesting,
right,
stuff there. You know?
I mean, I very quickly got past it, but I just noticed, like, oh, you don't really have much of that,
yeah,
here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And even Link, you know, we talk a little bit about story stuff, but Link's story, he's sort of just like, he's doing the things, but he's like, you don't know much about his background,
right,
or you know, what,
mm-hmm,
what he's, his childhood, I guess maybe a little bit from past Zelda games, but yeah, you just don't, he's not the focus of this story, really. He's,
mm-hmm,
just has a task to be done, right?
Right.
Yeah. All right, so biggest surprises, top moments. I think that Master Sword moment was truly, like, a surprise. Like, I knew there was something about the messed up sword because of the gloom and Zelda, like, the light, like, putting it through the time light or whatever. Like, I knew that it was something to do with... She's got to repair this thing somehow and send it back to him somehow. Like, I did not think that the method to do that, it was jamming into your dragon head for 500 years or whatever the heck timeline it was. And, like, heal it through your hair follicles. And then Link has to pull it out of your head. Like, that's a little macabre, honestly. Like, it's your best friend.
It's a very unusual idea.
It's a very...
To come to, yeah.
It's a little grotesque, honestly. Like, if you think about it, it's like, this is your best friend, you know? They have to go... They got trapped back in time.
Right.
And have to stick a messed up sword into their head for you to pull out, like, thousands of years later.
Yeah.
That's like, ooh, it's a little, like, ooh, this is kind of gross. But, yeah, like, we're so used to... finding the Master Sword in like very
traipsing through the woods.
Yeah, very like sort of fairy tale-ish, you know, Sword in the Stone kind of medieval whatever ways. Right. Like just pull out of the rock, it's, you know, you're good. And having it done in this way was like such a shock to me. And then when I realized what was happening, I was like, oh. It's in her head. Like, oh my God. Like, how and then the way that you like pull it out of her was like kind of like a long sequence too. Like you're trying. Like, yeah. I think I failed a couple of times because I didn't hold the button down long.
Well, you had to have a certain amount of stamina.
Yeah.
To be able to do that.
I
had it,
but I was just like bad at it.
Oh.
So it was, but it like.
Finger slipped off the button.
Some effort that you had to. The little blonde hairs were like curled up around the bottom of the sword too. I'm like, ooh.
That would be such a bummer if you did not have enough stamina in that moment to do it.
You're like, dang!
I would be so mad.
You had to go and like try to get some more. Go
grind some shrines or something.
More like heart.
Yeah, I mean, the way it's like the 1-2 punch of like finishing the tier stuff and then it just rolls right into that. Like you're still like processing. And then, like, then you're doing the interactive part of it. It's very powerful.
It is. It was. I was definitely, like, I knew the dragon and the sword, I knew it was going to come together in some way in terms of, like, this is how we're going to, you know, trick time kind of thing. But I just didn't imagine the visceralness of pulling a healed Master Sword out of your best friend's head as a dragon.
Is that dragon flying around earlier in the game?
It is.
And you just don't know.
You can jump on that dragon without doing anything.
Can you see the sword?
And you can then? You can do that cutscene then. Somebody did it like that and I was like, oh, that sucks. Oh. I wouldn't have wanted that.
Wow. That's interesting.
I wouldn't have wanted it without the context. I'm glad that I didn't try to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I like because you're on her head and you kind of like look at the eyes, like, does she recognize him? Like, is there any...
No, because she's lost herself.
I know, but you still wonder. Like, somehow, deep within, through, like, thousands of years, is there some recognition of all?
If I became a dragon, do you think I'd recognize you thousands of years later?
Just this cow-eyed dragon?
I don't think I would. Who the heck are you?
Dopey-looking dragon?
I'm a dragon.
They do like a little dopey.
The eyes were weird. The eyelashes were a little...
Yeah.
I don't think... I mean, I think she was just, like, a dragon.
Like, she did not. I don't know. It's like... That's a very dramatic thing through millennia with this sword
in
flying
your head,
around
waiting
for this one in a million thing to happen.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Right.
Unbelievable. And then I got this cutscene last because I did the Lost Woods stuff last.
Mm.
Where you finally can talk to the Deku Tree, and he
I still haven't done that.
Oh.
Well, it's fine. Tell me. This is a spoiler. This is a spoiler cast. No.
So, yeah, you finally get that scene about the sword, and you're like, where the heck were you?
And the scene was?
Well, he explains to you, like, the whole secret.
Oh,
like,
he tells you what happened.
Yeah, he tells, and then he, because you're supposed to talk to him first, right? And then you get the sword. And
you are?
Yeah, that's how the scene's set up. Mm. It's like, usually you come here to get the Master Sword. You see this empty spot where the sword is supposed to be in the Lost Woods. And then he's like, yeah, I've been, you know, watching over the sword for so long. And then, like, the sword got destroyed, but, you know, go here and this is where you can get it back. And then I promise to, like, take better care of it.
Okay.
Know? And it's like, oh, so you were aware of this, Mr. Deku Tree. Because it's like, usually, I'm glad that they put that in there because that's where the Master Sword usually is.
Yeah.
And so it'd be weird if he was just like, you know?
I don't, believe it or not, I don't like the Lost Woods, so I don't go there.
The Lost Woods in this game was one of the best done ones in
all of
Zelda games because it's connected to the Light Roots.
Oh, okay.
And that whole sequence between the depths and the Lost Woods, I thought it was the most well done in terms of connecting the sky. All three layers were very, very connected in that portion of the game. I wish the whole game was like that, honestly. Yeah. I know it's probably very difficult to do that.
Right.
But that was a good example of, like, how you can do, like, an interconnected, layered world like that in such, like, a perfect way. So I think you should do it. It's a really fun. Hmm. It's not hard.
That sounds cool.
You will not get lost and get confused.
Oh, okay.
It'll be fine. But, yes, that is definitely my biggest surprise top moment was just how, like, visceral that whole sequence was of pulling out the Master Sword, which you've done millions of times in Zelda games and... Sometimes it feels significant, sometimes it doesn't. This is definitely one of the ones where you're just like, didn't see that coming.
Yeah. Yeah, it felt to me like I was getting it kind of early in the game as well. Even though, like, I mean, I'd played for quite a few hours at that point, but you know, sometimes they do really save it for like the last push or felt like, oh, wow, this is interesting.
I like using it, so I'm glad that I was able to get it early, and I like that you could still fuse stuff to the Master Sword as well. That was pretty fun. Like just like
you can. Mm-hmm. I literally never tried that.
Okay. Well, you can, and it's fun. This is fun to experiment. Oh, but it breaks off when it runs out of energy. So
I see. Characters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Characters. So we talked a little bit about some of the newer characters already in Zelda. Let's actually talk a little bit more about Link.
Yeah.
Because I think we both have kind of similar thoughts around Link. You know, we all love Link, but that was one of the things that was a little bit disappointing for me in this game was Link's sort of reactions to the crazy things
the stone face
happening around him. Like, you just saw a vision of your best friend turning into a dragon. Your expression is this. It's like, hello? Anyone home?
He's a himbo.
He has no reaction to it at all. I was like, dude, are you like alive? So I think maybe I'm being a little bit too over the top here, but I think it goes like this. Like he has a little gasp, a little, you know, but it's like, if I were you, I'd be freaking out, like literally just in tears because this would be a mind-blowing realization of what is happening. So, I mean, somewhere maybe there's a balance of like, give him some kind of emotion, you know?
It's really ready. It's really time for Link to talk. Because I feel what's happened is they waited so long and they missed probably the right time to introduce that. Now they're really backed into a corner and the fan reaction, as we talked about, is going to be nuts. Whenever, no matter what, no matter how they do it.
Yeah.
But I really feel like they just have to rip the Band-Aid because it is starting to limit
what you can do.
These stories and the impact of some of the stories where you have now like really emotive characters where they have very clear motivations and then this person who's just a bystander.
Right. The person that's the hero of the story, the player character, the one that you're supposed to be as a player most attached to, to see yourself in this character, is the one that's the most sort of bland. That's not good for your main character to do that.
I don't need him to like Nathan Drake monologue the whole game, but like,
Drake's pretty funny.
Just break that seal and let him speak and let him be a fully fleshed out character like all these other ones.
And do some work on his personality development. Yeah. Like, we need to know who he is. Like, is he Nathan Drake where he's like funny and witty?
Yeah, what is his personality? Is he supposed to be
a really serious
character? Besides being hot, I don't know.
You can't just be hot, okay?
Hot is not a personality, as I've learned, okay? I've learned that the hard way.
Hot is a state of mind.
Not I don't have either of those. God.
But like, what is he? Is he supposed to be serious? Is he like just real dry? You know, that kind of like, we know a lot of people with like a very dry sense of humor. Yeah. You know, like, is that him? Great. Tell us. Show us. Let us hear it. It's disappointing when he has like significant conversations with characters too. Like he's like talking to like, you know, Puro or something like that. And you just see him in the back going like this. He just has like some like hand gesture, but you see him in the back because you can't see his face, God forbid. That part was like, it was just so stark in comparison to such beautiful characters that were crafted for this game. Mm. Such wonderful stories. You know, Zelda's just this full-fledged person now with like so much depth and motivation and whatever. Even the minor characters, you know, even our like cute little bird friend had more character than Link, you know, which is a little bit like it's like weird to have it like that.
Yeah.
So
they put themselves in this position so they can dig themselves
find
out.
A way out of it. Yeah, they can find a
way
out of
it. It's gonna be ugly, but you just have to do it.
It's necessary. And then once you're done with the first step, it'll get easier.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. But that first part is going to be a doozy.
That first Chris Pratt line is going to be shaky.
Oh, boy. I don't even think about that.
Characters you liked?
Characters I liked. I really actually liked a lot of, like, the side characters a lot. Like, I talk about this.
The musicians?
Yes. I was going to say. Even that little, like, the little head guy. The little, like, sort of, like, circus ringleader type dude.
Right.
I really like him. I like the little, you know, the Clover Gazette bunch. Sword along. Yeah. That guy was great. The editor is really fun. The side characters are so well done in this game where it just feels like the world is alive. Like, before, it's like Hyrule is empty. There's nobody here. Like, you just live in, like, this desolate wasteland.
That was a good upgrade overall in this game.
Yeah, I thought that was great. I'm continue to be perplexed by the whole Yiga side quest. It's like, why are you guys just bumbling idiots?
They're,
like,
comic relief.
I guess so, but like, they also kind of want to be, like, you. It's weird because they truly are supposed to be comic relief and they're, like, bumbling around, you know? But they have, like, significant tech, as you see when you go down to the depths, you know? They're, like, they got a lot going on down there. They're pretty, like, with it. And then when you talk to people in Hyrule, they're like, oh, yeah, the Yiga clan, they're really, you know, a thorn in our side. They've been after the princess. So they see them as, like, a real threat, but yet they're, like, idiots. So it's just a strange kind of push and pull there, I guess. The other character that I really like, and this is so lame, is the constructs.
I
love the little, like, robot-y, like, Wall-E constructs, like the battery guy, and, you know, the little constructs that they have such fun personalities. Okay. Like, they're just, like, cluelessly cute and like, this is my job, like, you know. So I really did like them a lot. I had to get over the look of sort of the Raru and the
Seems like you did.
I really didn't. I kind of was, like, weirded out by them, honestly. Okay. Like, they were funny looking.
Somebody's been watching Avatar.
It's a little bit, like, it's weird. It was just, I just needed to, like, my brain cannot wrap around, like, these humanoid, whatever they are. But once I got over it, I did end up really liking Minoru, which ends up being one of your sages. Yeah. I thought that was a good touch because you kind of feel disconnected from that bunch, right? And then you see the cutscenes of, you know, her really sacrificing for her people at the time and basically, like, dying and then putting her spirit into this construct, right?
Yeah.
So I thought that was a good way of, like, bringing that more into sort of the main cast of characters. And that ending when she leaves, when she's like, my job is done, like, my spirit, and then Zelda's connection to her was really heartfelt. Like, it was like, oh yeah, you guys have been through some stuff together, you know, like, this is a significant thing that happened and there's a significant sacrifice that happened. So it was nice to see the connection between those sort of newer characters and the older characters.
Yeah, we're past that part, but that whole sequence, it was quite long of getting Minoru and her construct was really surprising to me because I thought at that point, I was like, oh, well, you know, I've done the four things. There might be, like, one small thing and then, you know, we go do Ganon. But that was like that felt like a mystery that you were solving almost, especially, or like Indiana Jones adventure where you had the thing that was like the laser that was going in and you had to, like, ride that on the wing down to the ground level.
And I discovered that accidentally.
Right, you mentioned
that. I accidentally unlocked that main quest without knowing. I had gone up to those islands that were covered in the storm clouds without ever, like, undoing the storm clouds. I was blindly wandering around up there and fell into where that shrine is. Because there's a hole in the floor, basically, on that island. Fell into the shrine down below and then saw Minoru's little, like, face mask thing. And then I was like, what's this? And so I ended up doing that quest without ever getting a prompt for it. Now, that is incredible game design.
That's quite a coincidence. What that is.
It's just like, for you to be able to blindly stumble into something like that, like, dang, that team knows. They know what they're doing. That's top quality.
Yeah.
Like, that's incredible.
And all the way down to, like, the arms-esque boss fight?
Oh, yeah, where you're in, like, a boxing ring, basically? Yeah, I was like,
this is just bizarre.
They asked Mr. Yabuki to help with that
one. Yeah, yeah. No, that felt like a good, like, all right, you've done kind of four of the traditional things. Now we've got one more zany one until you go on to the end. Yeah.
And I like how you can ride the robot, too, and just, like, like crunch your way through the depths and
stuff. And, like, equip it with the different devices and stuff.
I always had two big balls, spiky balls on its fists so you can, like, knock things around.
Totally.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, and then, like, even the side characters, you know, like the other sages. They were great. Yeah. I loved them all. I really did.
And you love Sidon's wife or fiance or whatever she is.
I'm glad she never came back.
Said some unflattering things in the bonus Q&A.
Let's make a bouillabaisse out of her.
Oh, no.
Do a little fish fry.
It's not a single character, but I really liked, and this is interesting because I felt kind of the opposite in the last game. I really liked exploring the Gerudo area.
Oh, yeah.
Where it just felt like, yeah, like they do have a really distinct culture.
Mm-hmm.
It felt to me a little bit bigger than some Definitely. Of the other ones where it's like, oh, well, here's the Goron settlement. There's like these five little huts and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's one thing that you went underground and you wonder,
there's like a sewer system down
there. Right. Yeah. And it's just like unraveling their culture, which is so different from all the other cultures, was like really, I really enjoyed that much more than I did in the last game for whatever reason.
Yeah, this Gerudo area, I agree with you, is like so much more built out. It reminded me so much of like Luke Galen from Diablo.
Oh.
Like that area, which I love. It's like one of my favorite Diablo areas of all time. And yeah, you're right. It has like a bit of sort of ancient mystery to it. And even the quest that you do to unlock the Lightning Temple, you know, getting those mirrors to line up in the right way, like felt very... I don't know, like, it's got, like, sort of, like, an ancient Egypt, like, pharaohs and pyramids kind of sense to it, which I really, really liked.
Mm-hmm.
And, I definitely felt, like, more built out than some of the other areas.
Yeah. Do you want to just go settle the dungeon debate once and for all?
Since
you just brought it up?
Sure. I mean,
did these...
They are not dungeons, no. Not in my opinion, no.
These were such a, like, net... zero for me. Where like I didn't end up hating them. I didn't end up loving them. I just did them.
It was just something you had to do.
Yeah.
I did not love hearing about the imprisoning war four separate times. I got it. Thank you. I understand.
Yeah.
Yes. Something happened. You were called upon to do this. Got it. Yeah. I didn't need to hear that. they were so inconsequential to everything. The overarching story was so much more appealing, and the, you know, the world exploration and all the stuff in the depths that you're doing in the sky, like, these, take it or leave it, they didn't even need to exist, honestly. I think it was a great way for you to be introduced to some of those characters. Like, I loved getting the sages and having them be part of the story, and if the dungeons were a mechanic for you to do that, sure, that's fine, you know. But I think they're not. We cannot call them dungeons.
Yeah. I guess we did a whole podcast on that. We don't have to talk about that too much more.
And people are still mad at me, apparently, so maybe I shouldn't.
Not at me, though.
Somehow no one ever gets mad at you.
I'm never to blame.
Somehow no one gets mad at me. Tell them the truth, guys.
Gameplay stuff. So you have 100%ed all the depths.
Yep.
You 100%ed all the shrines.
Yep.
You're not going to bother with the Koroks.
Nope. I pretty much, I did more completionist stuff than I've ever done in a game in this game. So I feel very satisfied and very equipped to share my opinion on this game now, because I think I did everything. I did it.
Right.
I
wish there was a better way of keeping track of the sky islands, because it could be easy to miss some of those.
It's not as many as you think it is up there, really.
It's not.
You've gotten them all, I think.
I probably have.
You have. You truly have.
You know, my hope was that it would have that Wind Waker feeling. It never did entirely, because it was hard to, without some work or some setup, just do that. Because you were always, like, sometimes you have to go down. If you fall down and get back up.
Yeah.
Or you got to make this device to fly around. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, that fell off the edge. Now I got to do it again. Like, the convenience of doing that was never there. And I did wish they had something, didn't have to be as big, but something like the Great Sky Island that just felt a little bit meatier.
Yeah. Yeah, because after you do the big, the Great Sky Island, all the other ones are relatively small and contained. There was a one area that I really liked in the Gerudo region where you did the anti-grav.
Those were cool, yeah.
And it was like an island chain that was sort of in a circle.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
they
yeah.
felt all together uh-huh. a bit bigger because you were able to sort of, you know, go from right. place to place. But you're right. In terms of a size of an island like the Great Sky Island, you didn't really get that again.
No, no, you didn't.
There was some where there was, you know, there was a couple of islands where I found them to be like overcomplicated, I guess. Like there was one where, again, I was exploring it in my own way. I had like dropped at the top of it. It was like a cylindrical shaped island. And I was like, how do I get down here? Like, and I don't like looking stuff up in this game because I feel like I should be able to figure it out. And like, I couldn't figure it out. So I eventually had to look it up. And it was basically that I didn't enter the island at the bottom.
Oh.
But it's like, well, if you want people to explore it all these different ways, then you should not lock them out of the solution. But because they got to the island mm-hmm. a different way. So
yeah.
I don't know. Like there were some little nits about the islands. But I still really enjoyed like being up there. I think when I first started playing the game, like the Skylands were my favorite because it was just like, the newest part of it. And I was a little bit like, I don't really want to be in Hyrule. I want to be in the sky.
Yeah.
And then towards the end of the game, I love the depths. Like I was so into getting those light roots.
Mm.
And that feeling of, I think this is the feeling that people that like playing Pikmin get, where it's like, you know, it's completely dark, so you don't know what's around the corner. Yeah. You're doing this like crazy exploration and you feel very small and sort of unsafe down there. And then, you know, you light up an area and then you like discover, you sort of do it like a little puzzle piece at a time. Like that loop was very satisfying and I really enjoyed doing that. I didn't think I would. I was like, I'll just get a couple. It's not, you know, I won't do the whole thing. And then I got totally addicted to it and I had to finish it.
So. Yeah, I never found a real great reason to do stuff in the depths beyond what the game needed me to do to progress it. Like, after you finished it and you gave your whole talk of, like, what you enjoyed, I tried to go back. It's like,
okay.
It's just, I wasn't motivated to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a sort of a sense of sameness down there and just like, what am I doing right now? Besides just wandering around, and it's like, yeah, you could fill up the map if that was something you wanted to do, but I just...
Yeah,
I was
kind of loop, then I don't think it's... You don't have... It's not like there's anything, like, spectacular down there that you get when you do it all or something
like that. Yeah, so I was kind of left feeling like, they maybe could have done a little bit more with that.
Mm-hmm. There are bosses down there that are a little bit harder than... So if you wanted a harder boss fight, you could find them in the depths. Some cool dragons and Gliox and things like that. But yeah, I mean, it really, beyond the just the sense of completing that exploration, there wasn't too much more to it.
Yeah.
The other gameplay mechanics that I really struggled with, honestly, is like all the, you know, the Ultra Hand and...
Well, it's just Ultra Hand, isn't it?
Well, sure.
It's not the other... It's not like Fuse or any
Fuse
of those.
Fuse was kind of, well... Ultra Hand and the building was hard for me, I will say. It continued to be a struggle for me. I definitely got better at it towards the end. I was a little bit faster at it. But it definitely was a struggle for me. Like, my brain does not work well in those ways. The fusing of the weapons, I thought I would use it more, honestly, but I would always fuse something to a weapon that I was using, but, you know, I wouldn't always fuse to arrows. I wouldn't always fuse to a shield. I wasn't changing out things I was fusing to it really that much to experiment like I thought I would. I would basically just fuse the strongest thing I had to it, you know, like what I would have sorted by power. And just fuse the strongest thing that I had.
Yeah.
So I thought that I would be a little bit more experimental, but I really wasn't. So I don't know if other people are, but I was just like, well, it's like they break and stuff, so like who cares?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Ultra Hand I really have mixed feelings about in the end because I do feel like they hamstrung that intentionally in a lot of ways. That would have been, it would have been so much more fun and open to mess around with that if they had not limited it so much. Like, this grind for batteries, like...
Oh, you're so mad about that?
Well, people are like, oh, well, if you explored the depths more, you'd find that. I didn't feel motivated to explore the depths at all. So I didn't. So I didn't do that.
Right. You didn't want
to give me a better. Give me a better reason to do that if that was my way out of that grind of of using the dupe glitch.
That's right. That's right.
Because I literally spent like quite a bit, quite a like significant chunk of time just duping,
just
to,
doing it
to get the full set of batteries.
Yeah.
To feel like I could properly
use
that.
Yeah,
but I never fully got over that hump. Like, I made the bike that was, like, meant to get around, but, like, something would happen. It would, like, break or it would, like, despawn. Like, you would go somewhere, it would despawn.
Right, right, right.
Like, they're like, 90% of the way on this.
Mm-hmm.
But that 10%, like, really hurts.
And they had a lot of, like, really annoying things in that 10% that made it just impossible, I think, for you to, like, get over it.
Please refer to our Ride or Run video for some of the details on that.
I cannot believe that. Like, yes, like the whole, like the angles and the thing, like, ah, I was so bad at that. I was so bad. I'm sure there are so many people that are so
Well, I mean,
fluid.
We saw it. I mean, there was the whole, oh, like that took over like social media for like several weeks of like, oh, we made the Metal Gear, we made this, or we made that. It's like, guess what? That's cool for your TikTok that gets 10 million views. What do you actually do with that in the game?
I guess it's just fun for that reason, like, only, though. It's not leading you to have a better gameplay experience.
Like, there was,
messing around in this.
There was a good combination of stuff, though, that was creative and was
functional.
And was actually useful.
Yeah.
But I just never felt like the game never let me completely get into that feature the way I wanted to.
Yeah. I feel like the whole trend part of it too, like, intimidated me. So instead of like wanting to build more, my reaction was like, well, I can never do it like that, so I just won't do it.
Oh.
So I just felt like, I was like, well, I can't do this, so I'm just gonna avoid doing it. I didn't even like, I would only use it in shrines when I needed to use it.
I did like the implementation in shrines where they're like, all right, we want you to solve this problem
in like a very, your way, you know,
right,
however way you want it.
Right, non-linear.
Yeah.
I did like that a lot. But it was just like when I'm out, it's like, well, I'm going to this place. Like, I could spend the time building something or I could just get going.
Yeah, or you could just like fast travel there and run the rest of the way.
Right. Like,
again,
like those moments where they could have made it, given you a motivation to use it, but they didn't.
Yeah, hurt. The other thing I think is kind of to the detriment of the building and the you know, getting vehicles and stuff, is that Link is very agile and mobile.
Right.
Like, he is, like, you can climb everything. You can do whatever. So, like, I don't know. Like, it just felt like he doesn't need it, you know? He's like, I'm good. Like, I could run there. I could climb this.
Yeah.
So I guess that makes it, like, please don't take away the Link's ability to climb stuff, because that's really fun. But, like, if they took it away, let's say that he couldn't climb certain parts of it, and the only way you can get up over a cliff is to build a bike that hovers or something, or a ladder or something, then maybe that will motivate you to do it. But
because
Link is so agile and so, like, capable, it's like, well, why bother?
Like, we shouldn't even have to have the ride or run debate. Like, that should be the whole reason that these exist. It's like, oh, we're opening up a whole new avenue for you to get around that, like,
never
is going to change your life.
That's never been possible
before.
But all of this is possible because you can do it now. Yeah.
Yeah,
so that was... I never got over that either. It did not take away from my experience, because I think I was perfectly happy just to, like, run and climb and be on a horse sometimes. And I rode a hover bike sometimes. I made a little pontoon boat to get around and go on the river, a very, like, bare bones kind of thing. But, you know, it was fine. I didn't need to build, like, the Metal Gear, you know, robot or something like that.
Yeah.
The other thing... you know, with some of the mechanics, I do agree that the shrines were...
Yes, I wanted to go back to shrines.
Yeah, let's go back to shrines, because I did all the shrines. I do agree with you that having the shrines and having that idea of solving it in any way possible is really, really cool. But there is, like... There are some things that they do where they totally just, like, overcomplicated, I think. Like, some of the shrines were just, like, What is it that you actually want me to do? Because it's what you want me to do is kind of dumb, and I'm not going to do it. Like, there was a couple of shrines that had those, like, big targets.
Yes.
And you had to use, like, the floaty bouncy ball to do a thing, and I'm like, this is so annoying. Like, I'm bomb arrowing this. I don't care.
I kind of like those.
I just bomb arrowed my way through it, though.
Oh, you could do that?
Yes.
And that would trigger it?
Yes.
Oh.
Because I was lazy. I was like, this is, I know
well,
what you,
fine.
It's also like, I know what you want me to do, but the thing that you want me to do is hella annoying.
Well, at least you got out of doing something annoying.
Yeah, but don't put the annoying thing in there in the first
place. But
time.
I didn't think it was annoying.
All right.
Well, I know we talked early on of like, oh, is the balance of these shrines out of whack? Because it was
like all altering
in the end. And again, I didn't do them all like you did. So maybe you feel differently. I felt like the variety did balance
yes,
out.
I agree. I totally agree. I think in the beginning, they just really want you to get used to it. Because that's like the main thing that you're trying to, you know, get the player to learn in the game. So I understand that. And the shrines definitely helped, you know, you get used to that mechanic.
Yeah.
So that did its job. In the end, I agree. I think that there was a lot of good variety in terms of, like, shrines that had just the, you know, the battling, like the naked and afraid shrines, mm-hmm. which I always loved.
Those are cool,
great.
Yeah.
I like the ones where you basically, like, solve a puzzle just to get the shrine, and then when you go in and you just get the Rauru's blessing. Those are
too many of those.
There's a lot of those.
Yeah, there were a lot of those.
A lot of those towards the end.
This is lazy.
Well, you're in like a crazy cave. You don't know how to get
out. I don't care.
There was one shrine that I really liked, which was called like, I think it was called like the Ice Key or something like that, where you basically had to like melt these, you had to like make ice cubes in, or like ice blocks in like the nearby river, come back and melt it to the right size over the campfire, and then put it into the wall.
Oh, I don't think I did that one.
And
that
opened up a shrine. So that was really, those were really cool. They didn't have very many, but like two of those.
Yeah.
But those were really cool. The ones in the sky were really fun, where you had to bring the crystal onto an airplane, like you make a Zonai wing or something like that, and like try to transport it. And I was... Yeah. Always failed the first time, but the thing would just tumble to the ground, and there was always some kind of like crashing of the airplane problem that I would have, or some sort of falling to my death. That I really liked those as well. So yeah, those are some creative shrines, and I mean, I was motivated. Like even in Breath of the Wild, I did not do all the shrines, but I was like very motivated. I was like, this is really fun. Like I want to do all of these. These are great.
Right.
So yeah, I really like those. Towards the end, I really did come to appreciate them.
So yeah, the game did really expose like how limited the abilities you had in Breath of the Wild were, where one was literally a bomb.
I miss stasis.
Yeah, I mean, so some of those were cool, and definitely the way they used them in shrines were very cool, because they built puzzles specifically around those.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like they didn't, they had some rough edges with some of that
stuff. Yeah, they're all new abilities, so I feel like there's maybe some balancing and some smoothing out of things that needed to happen. Yeah, I wonder if they would ever go back to these again, or are we just going to throw it all away?
I probably doubt they will.
I think they'll throw it away, too.
Yeah.
I think the next Zelda game is going to be completely different than this. So.
But again, that motivation, again, I keep going back to Ultra Hand of like, we've made this great thing for you to tinker around and do stuff with, but we're kind of going to make it a pain for you to do it. Like, I really don't understand that.
Especially for, like, a new thing that they want you to be excited about.
When it's, like, the new thing
and
for the game.
And they want you to use. Maybe they didn't think it was annoying. Maybe they thought it was just, like, part of sort of the satisfaction of, you know, getting to the expertise level of Ultra Hand. And that's what in their minds you needed to do. I don't think you should have locked it behind all of these layers, you gotta make the barrier to enter a little bit easier for a new player. I would say, like, I think you and I are both pretty normal players. Mm-hmm. I would say we're not bad. We're not like extremely good, but we're like, you know, the normal, probably like 90% of the people playing. Right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if other people feel this way, but that's kind of like, how we both felt about that.
Yeah.
All right. You've avoided it.
All right. I haven't avoided any. I don't know why you keep positioning
Wrong
it this way.
Enough.
You're ducking the question. You're just going to like say you need to go to the bathroom and
you
run away.
You have avoided
it. Hear my car starting.
Long
so
enough.
Have you.
Let's set this up a little bit. We're going to answer the question, is Tears of the Kingdom better than Breath of the Wild?
Mm-hmm.
Now, to set it up, you were the global lead for the launch of Breath of the Wild. You single-handedly worked with all of these developers. You know, this is the game in the Zelda series that pretty much, like, changed the trajectory of the series. Right. There's a lot of outside factors, I would say, that contributed to you putting Breath of the Wild as your favorite game of all time.
Right.
But do you think that you can look at this comparison from a pure game-to-game comparison? Or are you going to look at it with all of those other factors in mind?
Well, A, I don't think I have to if this is my rating. But B, if I did have to, I would say I still prefer Breath of the Wild because I still think there were enough, like, there's more stuff in Tears of the Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And like we were just talking about, some of that can result in some amazing new experiences that you couldn't have before, but some of that results in a head scratch. Okay. Like why was I not motivated to explore this huge part of the game mm-hmm. in the depths?
Okay.
Like, that feels like a miss.
Okay.
Where I just didn't have any motivation to do it.
Okay.
You know, the Ultra Hand stuff that we talked about. Amazing highs, some pretty annoying lows.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with Breath of the Wild, like, obviously the scope at the time was massive. In comparison to this game,
smaller.
Much smaller. But yeah. I feel like they delivered, they had a better hit rate, success percentage on those things okay. than they did. And also, like, you know, those systems that they introduced still play a huge part in Tears of the Kingdom, like the whole, like, chemistry system of how mm-hmm. the world interacts with itself that was yeah. so mind-blowing in the first game. It's like, right. now we have new things that are mind-blowing, but they're kind of built on the backs of yeah. the systems of this world.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying, like, Breath of the Wild walked so Tears of the Kingdom could
right.
run. You
right.
know, there was, like, so many of those comparisons. Like, you could not be here unless I was here
yeah,
first.
Yeah, so it's right? so it's a very hard question to answer, and I like the comparison a lot of people in our Discord have made, where it's like Tears of the Kingdom feels like the second quest to Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
definitely.
Like, I do wish I could bunch these games together and just, like, combine them into one experience and
yeah.
say, like, yes, this is my favorite ever, but I can't. So it's something annoying that I have to deal with. Like, don't get me wrong, like, this is still probably, like, an all-time, like, top 10 game for me.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as, like, capturing the magic, and yeah, like, I do have a lot of, like, personal bias on that. But it's me, so I can do it. It's, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
I'm not ashamed of that.
I think it's very hard for you to disentangle yourself
right.
from the moment, the moment that you were in your life when that game,
exactly.
when Breath of the Wild came out. That's always going to be true for you, you know?
Right.
So that is how you're going to, that's the lens that you're going to look at it through, which is totally fine because it's your rating.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that Tears of the Kingdom is better than Breath of the Wild. I think there has never been a game that's motivated me to become a completionist.
Hmm.
Like, you know me. Like, I'm
yeah.
very, like, I got a lot of games to play. I have a very short attention span. I have commitment issues. So I do not like to dilly-dally in this, like, completionist
yeah.
kind of thing. I can never be Gerard, you know? So usually I'm like, main story finished. I'm out. See ya.
Right.
Like, I never played a Zelda game like this before, where I was just so, I don't even know why, like, I was motivated to do this. There was nobody that was, like, pressuring me, like, oh, you gotta get all the shrines.
Yeah.
I did not do that in Breath of the Wild. I don't know. There was something about this game that really just captured my attention. I thought about it all the time. I was so, like, towards the end, you know, I got into this groove where it just felt very satisfying, like, my arc of getting the light root and then following the light root up to potentially a shrine that I didn't get yet, getting that shrine, like, this whole layered world that they created. Like, there was something about that that just was very satisfying for me. And I would say, like, felt, the whole thing kind of felt like a really big but very relaxing Zelda dungeon. Like, it just had that sense of, like, you know, getting new skills and using that to your advantage. Like, there was something about that loop that was very well done that I just Like, I really loved it. And I think that they did not have that in Breath of the Wild. Obviously, I think this is one of those things where it's like, yes, this game could not have existed without the foundation that was built by Breath of the Wild. So it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, well, how can you even compare the two? Mm-hmm. But I think this is a better game. This is truly like a better game experience from that like core mechanic of exploration, which was a key part of Breath of the Wild that they totally blew out for Tears of the Kingdom, to the much better, you know, narrative, to some really inventive gameplay mechanics, some of them that I jived with and some of them that I didn't, but clearly other people had a lot of fun with the gameplay mechanics. I think this is like, yeah, this is like the best Zelda game of all time. Like they really, it's pretty amazing, you know, they really did it.
Hmm. So this is past Twilight Princess,
yeah.
Past all these others?
Breath of the Wild was my number one before. This is number one now.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, still got a couple more games to play this year, but
yeah.
It's going to be hard to top this. It's going to be hard. 190 hours later, I feel pretty good about this one.
Yeah, I don't want people to get the wrong impression about what I was saying, where it's like, again, this is like all time, like a top 10 game for me, but it's just a tough hill to top. And again, like the fact that the games are pulling so much from each other.
It's so hard to disentangle
it. It's this very unique situation that you don't often see in games.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Where it's hard to make that decision, which is again why we want to just mash them up.
Yeah, yeah. I do get a little bit sad thinking about, you know, another Zelda game probably won't exist in this world.
Yeah, I think they'll do something new.
They're gonna absolutely do something new, I think. So we should all just relish it. You know, yeah. What a wonderful experience these two games gave us. What a amazing, you know, new perspective into what a Zelda game could be for its faults and its shortcomings. Like, it's still just a feat of unbelievable magic. So, yeah. Like, we're so lucky that we have these two games and we could play them and enjoy them. Like, what a great place to be, right?
That's right.
For, as a Zelda fan. Mm-hmm. It's a great place to be. All right. Final
spoilers?
No. Final thoughts.
I don't know. This was fun.
This was really fun.
Yeah.
We hope that you guys enjoyed this. We're really excited to give you, our lovely Patreon subscribers, some more exclusive content like this. Yeah, I think if you guys like it, we certainly love doing it. We can think about doing it for some other games.
Yeah.
Some other big games. Mm-hmm. Maybe Final Fantasy.
Mm.
But yeah, this was really great. Let us know what you think. But that's it. Spoiled it all.
We did.
Okay, we'll see you guys later.
Bye.